Romans chapter 15, let's see, looking at times and seasons. Romans 15 verse 3. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of scriptures might have hope. I said on Sunday that, yeah, you read the scriptures, okay, for hope. The word hope there is elpizo, or elpis, both ways. It means expectation. So which means that when we read scriptures, we see what to expect. That's why I said that you can reliably situate the scriptures as God's plan. And you notice that when Moses was going to build the tabernacle in Exodus 25 and 40, and Hebrews 8:5 speaks about it, God said to him, it says, see to it that you build according to pattern, which means that there's something I've done before, okay, which is actually the shrine of Noah. We call the Ark of Noah, but the shrine that Noah built, the temple, the Tevah. So he built something for God to be worshipped in, and that worship place had three layers, heaven, earth, and under the earth. And he had all that in the temple. So which means that we read scriptures to know God's plan. We're able to say, okay, this is what God wants to do. So here, Romans says, so that we might have hope. So we have something to look forward to. So scriptures show us God's plan. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I also showed you another reason we read scriptures, and verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. Okay? The word there is tupos in the Greek, which simply means a pattern. Again, it has that underlining factor of a plan. It happened to them for examples. Then he says here, verse 11, and they were written, and that's where you have the word scriptures, for our admonition. So I told you on Sunday that admonition also means warning, which means that we are warned. So scriptures also warn us. People like information, they don't like the instruction part. The warning. And you notice that word nothesia. N-O-U-T-H-E-S-I-A. In Titus, for example, chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said to Titus, a man that is an heretic, he said, after the first and second admonition, he says to reject. We're going to look at that also today. Reject. A man is a heretic. Heretic is someone who causes division. We always talk about heresy as somebody who preaches something we don't believe. But heresy really, heresis in the Greek, is someone who creates a faction. Okay, and heresy can be doctrinal. It can be an attitude. You can have people, for example, who will call others in the local assembly and say something else to them. They are heretics. And so Paul says, if you want the first person, second time, say reject. So which means you say, no, we defellowship you. So it's a warning. So also in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4, where Paul talks about, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition. Nurture is that word that we have in 2 Timothy 3:16, an admonition of the Lord, to nurture, an admonition, to warn. So which means the parent also has the responsibility of warning. And you know that that could be seen in at least two people. Firstly would be Eli, who didn't warn his children, who were supposed to be priests. And somehow, the priesthood was taken from his family forever. And then he also has Samuel. Interestingly, funny, Samuel also had children that were really out of order. So that is in mind here when you have warned them. Which means you raise up and warn, and it's in God's spirit to warn. Another word for notesia is something that you must pay attention to. You know, it's like when you write an examination and they write the instructions and they say, write, answer the first one on this side, and you didn't read the instruction, but you had so much information that you answered the right one on the wrong side. You know, you could just have failed everything. To take a very compassionate person to call you and say, why did you do this? This is not instruction. Some guys are already mean. Will just mean you out of it. So instructions are very important. No matter how much information you have, always look out for the admonition. And it's like some of us, you know, we sign off, get to a place, and say, just sign. You see a long list of, I don't know, instructions, or you just say, I mean, no worry, maybe you want to stay inside an hotel. Say, sign. One of the things there is that we are going to use your head. or you know, you just sign up. You know, why not just sign? There was a guy like that who wanted to get into a job. He didn't know that they signed that he couldn't resign for 5 years. So he was so excited, he looked at the salary. So, Tobe Chuku is happy. He has done it for me. So he was done. He signed up. Then when he got another opportunity, I'll go. Didn't know what you signed. That's why I'm trying to get a lawyer. That's what I'm trying to say, actually. I'm actually trying to tell you that you should get a lawyer. I'm not promoting anything. But before you read stuff, you got to check it. So there's actually things to check in the Bible, and you got to see it. It's all in the manual. So it says to watch, right? And we have said that God's word, and we looked at last week, there was someone told me that this person walked in at the middle, didn't understand what I said about seas and light. I hope you're around now, because I'm not going to talk about it. Anyway, we're talking about last week. We said in Genesis chapter 8, quick one. So you have to, before then, go to Ephesians 5. Then we'll go to Genesis chapter 8. You in church? All right. It says verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. That's the word carefully. So that means the Bible instructs us to be careful. So I'm careful? Okay. Carefully, all right? And it tells us why. He says, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. We said that word means to save the time because the days are evil. And we said the shades of the word evil, one of them means they are harmful. One means they are unstable. And a bit of something Paul said in just the same scripture, I mean, sorry, the letter, pardon me, chapter 6 again, it says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand and therefore. Of course, you see, read all that together. This is taking the shield of faith, verse 16, you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, which means you have a wicked one seeking whom you may devour, according to what Peter said. And so a Christian must be watchful. You must watch and be sober. You know, knowing that there is an enemy out there, okay? Is that clear? You cannot afford to stray. That the Yorubas will say, if you are being watched, you don't look away. So you have to know that you are being watched. And some of us can be extremely careless. Like I told a fellow one day, I said, you've done this much for the kingdom of darkness, so you think that you can get away with some carnality. No, you can't. So I thought, you gotta be watchful. Your Lord and Master, Jesus, who is God, says, Satan came, and he found nothing in me. That means he kept coming. Oh boy. Found out whether I was a Chelsea fan, found he was. You know, I said, okay, Jesus is quite spiritual here, you know, he's, amen. So he kept coming. If he can come to Jesus, Luke 4:13, I think, says that he came and he left for another, listen, Luke 4. He left Jesus, 13. He left Jesus after the temptation was finished, Luke 4:13, says he departed him for a season. That means for another time. Comes again. You know, you notice again that in the parable of the sower, it says that the moment that first hearer did not understand, Satan came immediately. All those statements are showing you time is important. What you do when you hear the word is very important. I remember I told you this about one day we're having the Deeper Life Monday, I think it was Monday Bible study, and then Broken Way, Pastor Kumi now said that He had to correct how the services were being held. Then he said that after service, that what we should do when we hear the word was something that had to do with the teaching, that because Satan would definitely come to steal the word. And I never thought saw it like that until he said so. That was quite some years ago. Because you have to look at what did you do after? Some were just writing notes. Some even forgetting the service. See, that was very quick. You forget the note in the service. He's like, so why did you write it? You know, he's like Paul sending you to take a letter to Corinth. And you forgot it. He said, I can remember many things he said. I think he said, I, Paul. He's an apostle now. So you cannot underestimate the importance of using time well. So he came to Jesus. In John he said, the enemy came, the prince of this world cometh, and he found nothing, which means he kept coming. He came until they got to a point he came through his own disciples. So he kept coming. So there is no season of vacation. Is that clear? Do you understand that? There's no season of vacation. And you know, we're on break now, Abby. Demons, we're on break. You know, we're not on break. We must be on the alert. So we said in Genesis chapter 8, quick one, and verse, so it said save the time. Why do we need to redeem the time? Because time will never be constant. Time will never be constant. It will be, the word poneros, we said it means unstable. Okay, it can have two shades. So in Genesis chapter 8 and 21. The Lord smelled the sweet smell of savour. And we said that what the word smell there, I don't think it's an appropriate language. I think it's basically English translation. The smell there had to do with the Spirit of God taking residence, okay, because of the worship or in the worship. So he says he takes residence, and that word has to do with ruach. Two words are used simultaneously there. Ruach and Noach. That's the background. That's the root word of those things. The spirit and the resting place. And the Lord said, not that he smells suya, something like that. I said, put onion, you know. The Lord said in his heart, I will not again cross the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart. So that shows you there's a double entendre there. Let me put it, a double emphasis. Genesis 6:3, the very essence of the destruction, the very issue there in Genesis 6:3, my spirit shall no longer strike man. That's the word ruach was there. So Genesis 8:21, my spirit will still find residence in man's worship. So that means that Genesis 6:3 has an answer in Genesis 8:21. My spirit will find residence. Now he says here in worship and all that. We'll see that. I'm going to talk about that on Sunday too anyway. So he says that neither will I again smite anymore. No, sorry. I don't again cross the ground anymore for man's sake. For the madness of man's heart, even from his youth, neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. So, and he says, I won't do it anymore. This is, I will. So we said that what will not cease? He says, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, okay? Summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Is that clear? Okay, so that shows you that there will be varying events in the earth, varying seasons, times and seasons. Alright? So times and seasons are in God's permissive sense, the fact that if you're, as long as you have man, you will have times and seasons. So last time we looked at the word night, and I want us to look at it a bit more, the concept of night. It said day and night. And I showed you that in the New Testament books, the concept of night, we saw seas, right? Seas, whales, fish, oh, come on. So now look at night. And we said, what is it about the night? We said Jesus' departure in Matthew 2:14 was at night, and that is an imagery that is theological. In Matthew 14:25, he's walking on the sea, supernatural, at night. It's captured Matthew 26:31 at night. Matthew 26:34, Peter's betrayal is at night. Matthew 27:64, okay? Lest they come at night, talking about the disciples who come at night, because everyone knows that the night represents are ulterior things. You know, Matthew 28:13, to tell a lie that they came at night. Mark 6:48, we say Jesus walked on water. There was a wind at night. Now, very vitally, Mark 14:27, the betrayal of Judas happened at night. The offense that came among the disciples happened at night. Mark 14:30, Peter's denial happened at night. Luke 2:8, the shepherds walked their flock at night, and the light of God, contrast, is now a great light. So, and it says, peace amongst men. Don't let that be lost on you. There's darkness, and then there's light. Then you have Luke 5:5, Peter toiled all night, and Jesus gave him light by saying, cast your net to one side. And then he got a great catch of fish. Don't forget, that was also in the midst of the sea. In Luke 12:20, the fool was told, this night your soul will be required from you. So the concept of night is not weather, all right? It's not just typical times, to show you seasons of events. Luke 17:34, Jesus said the invasion of Jerusalem will be at night. Night there doesn't necessarily mean 6 to 6, simply means the dark hours. Darkness is prevailing. That's when this invasion will take place. He went to the Mount of Olives, Luke 21:37, also at night. In John 3:2, Nicodemus, John 3:2, John 7:50, John 19:39, Nicodemus was that disciple that came to Jesus at night. Are you like that? He came at night under the cover of darkness. John 9:4, which we are going to see, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He says, I must walk while it is day, for night cometh when no man can walk. That's important, right? Night cometh when no man can walk. And Jesus' night did come when he was betrayed, crucified, buried, then no man can walk. In John 11:10, night, there's a John 13:30, Judas went out to betray Jesus at night. John 21:3. So we said, night has a significance that we mustn't lose sight of. 1 Corinthians 11:25, Paul says, the night that Jesus was betrayed, the night he was betrayed. All that imagery is important to show you times and seasons. So here is Yahweh God. The night is meant to be for destruction and darkness. That is when light prevailed. Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Now Romans 13:12, the key text, Romans 13:12, New Testament language. It says here, Romans 13:12, the night is far spent. Now, if you read this early in the morning, you say it's not contextual. But the night is far spent is talking about the Roman government, the darkness, particularly in the Roman world. In fact, I'll take 11. Knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. So the night is talking about, it's not 6 to 6, okay? Are you here? Alright, talking about evil and all that. In 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it says, Jesus will come like a thief. It's very vital. Jesus is coming a thief. Like a thief in the night. That means, watch another thing about that. That means night is also used by thieves. I believe that was then. To catch you unawares. So something about night is that you are usually caught unawares, right? Night cometh, you are caught unawares. So Paul admonishes us, let us not sleep, right? Don't read that one, not to sleep tonight. What he's saying is that whenever evil is happening, just like the COVID time, just like, you know, things will just be happening, Paul says, you've got to be awake. Right? That's not the time to say, And some guys think it's about lamenting. Oh, what's going on now? Is it 666? Is it? And I tell someone, I said, well, I might not know what the devil's trying to do, but I know what God wants to do. And so along the line, I said to guys, I said, watch this. There seems to be a discontent. Now, what I said back then, I mean, some of you heard me say it, many of you did. Many people, by hindsight, have seen, I know others must have seen it too. And I said, there's a discontent in the minds of people that will lead generally to people just being dissatisfied. And there will be a restlessness. Because of the 2019-2021 season, there will be a restlessness. And somehow, some churches might feel, what are we doing? Remember, a pastor told me, he said, Pastor, are you telling me you don't do any services? I said, no. He said, so he called me back. He said, it appears like you were prepared for things like this. I said, no, I wasn't. We announced camp meeting, you know. It didn't hold. Remember, when we were still trying to fix, what do we do? Someone now sent me and says, Pastor, what about camp meeting? Which of the camps? You're not even saying what about church meeting. Is it not church meeting that we first had for our camp meeting? I wasn't sure. Okay? Of course, there and before then, somehow, you know, we were led by the Spirit of God to teach some things, not because I knew, it was just because I was led. And you don't expect God to tell you everything. Who are you? Who should even tell you everything? Or you go and post it on Instagram. He sure will tell you everything. You know, so, you know, definitely. So the guy now said, well, he now came back, he said, I think you were prepared for this. I said, why? He said, I looked at your website, your teachings, in the next many years, people will still be listening to it. He said, I looked at what I was preaching. It was too momentary. Tomorrow, go out and manifest. He said, that was what I was preaching. He said, now there's no tomorrow. I said, well, I didn't know what you're talking about. You know, and I kind of felt that there was a discontent. So naturally, people will now have the permissible with exigencies. Okay, let's now do this. And people came up with all sorts of stuff. And now it's difficult to regularize. That's why Paul said, don't sleep. Don't doze off. I think that's it. That's also sleeping. Because only you sleep outright, but you're going, amen, amen. There was one guy like that in my secondary school. We were, early morning labor line. And he stood like this. And he slept off. That takes a grace. I'm like this. How can someone sleep like this? And he's not falling down. That one needs no Guinness Book of Records. That's the record itself. There was another guy, after the prep class. You know what prep class is? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Before you think it's an original language. And so the guy had the prep class. So he slept up during the prep class. And then normally after the prep class, we hold the night devotion right there. We held the night devotion. He didn't wake up. So some of us waited behind to read. After reading, he still wasn't up. So, of course, I was a bit notorious. So I said, let's surround the guy. So I said, this is the day. There you go. This is. So guys got to sleep, eh? There was no brother like that. Then now I wasn't serious. We were in church. So we're watching the brother who, he opened his Bible like this and he dozed off. The way he dozed, you won't know. So we were laughing and the usher was looking at us. We were not looking. So the usher just started to just change the page. So guys are just skillful, you know. Alright, let's take that home. So you must not sleep off. Right? You can't afford to. Night, you know, things are just going, what's going on here? Rather than some people to pray more, which we're going to look at shortly, they just be wondering. Keep wondering. Night is far spent. Cast off the darkness. Don't sleep, Paul said. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 said, be sober. Is that clear? Be sober, in verse 5, verse 7. Be sober. So tell someone, I said, night will come. There's nothing you can do about it. Say it, say night will come. Don't sleep. At night. Not tonight. Alright. So don't sleep. In some guys who have a walk of the ministry, some things will just go wrong. And then he'll be discouraged. There's one guy like that, he went to preach. Was our friend. We laid hands on him, we prophesied, did everything. He went to preach. So they opposed him so well. When you oppose you very well. He now stopped writing letters. The next time we saw him, he had married another wife. He was now a drunkard. That is the manifestation of what had happened in the spirit realm. What happened? It got to a place where people rejected the gospel and then they were drinking a lot. So he got fed up. And do you know that when you are in that situation, Satan will come after you. He was fed up. And he was, God not? And then he didn't leave the place. So he just, like someone said, when you are in Rome, you Romanize. He just Romanized with them. So he came back, you know, needing the missionary. He's gone. So when he saw night, he slept. You know, some guys don't see night. Right now, they're chewing gum on a Wednesday evening. WCC. Camp meeting. What can I go in? I hope that's not you. Any night like this. As long as the sun is saying bye. The moon has not showed up with us. So any change in season. Things are not going the way they want it. You'll say, I prayed, I didn't get the answer. This happened. I just got fed up, bro. The guy don't doze. Just got fed up. I know that they won't do, the only thing they will abandon is in their fellowship with God. They won't abandon job. Right? They will remain alive, useless for the Lord. Look, for now, let me just, you day your day, I day my day. He's sleeping. Some will even snore. You hear it. They don't care anymore because they slept off. So night will come. Jesus said night will come. Is that clear? But you must not sleep. Is that okay? Say, I refuse to sleep. Night will come. So we said scripture, Revelation 21, shows us night will go. It's not gone yet. Revelation 21. In verse 1, the first heavens and the earth were passed away. No more sea. The wipe the tears. Look at this. No more death, sorrow, crying. Verse 4. No more pain. Former things are gone. Revelation 22. It says there's now healing. Notice Revelation 22 verse 2 says there's now a tree of life. That means that if there's a tree of life, pay attention, will it need to die to produce fruit? Nope. No, it won't. So if the tree is not going to die to produce fruit, because that's what you do when you plant seed, right? That means seed time and harvest has what? Ceased. Are you here? So it's not produced. So it bore manner of fruits, yielded a fruit every month. That means seed time and harvest ceased. It says the leaves of the nations are for the healing of the tree, the healing of the nations. So it cures things along the way. Look at 3. There shall be no more what? Curse. Look at 5. No more nights. This is new creation. New creation is a project. It's an ongoing project. So we are on the new creation. We are still going towards a new creation. So between then and now, between now and then, we're going to have day and what? Night. So the born again man must not deny facts. The born again man must not. I remember when I first read, you know, I love Brother Hagin, and I read all his books. I love his books, and I love the faith, what faith is, how to write a ticket with God. So when I saw one, I was looking at it from afar, but I never touched it. Must Christians suffer? I didn't want to know the answer. You know, you look at the book of you. I don't know what the answer. Must Christians suffer? Ah, Christian, born again man, who's like God, who reflects God, the God that came and died, who reflects God. So when I finally came to terms with reality and read it, I'm going, wow, serious, because some of us know everything about God, but we forget that he's also patient. The fact that you can be patient means that you are subjected to yourself to what? Time. Right? Waiting means you have subjected yourself to what? Time. You have subjected yourself to what? Time. Have you waited before? Who has waited before? You wanted something and they said, wait. You go, huh? He said, remember one time I went somewhere and I calculated that I was going to, not in Nigeria, so I said I was going to get it on that next day. And being a Nigerian, you know. So when the woman said, so you come back on Tuesday? It was a Wednesday. That means you didn't say come back yesterday. So I said, I just met near the day. I said, you know the Nigerian thing? You know how I move. Can I get it tomorrow? The lady looked at me like, huh? Gentlemen, I said Tuesday. So I heard you. You know, I'm thinking, I'm going to wait. Tuesday, that's 5 days. Whether you wait or not, Tuesday is in 5 days. So I had to wait. You know what? Like my dad would say back then, heavens will not fall. When I go and meet him, somebody said, young man, wait till tomorrow. I said, you know what? He said, you are always running. Where are you going to? He said, but see, go inside now. Lie down. By the time you wake up, it's tomorrow. Heavens will not fall. You know, I mean, like, ooh. You know, you learn to wait. Some of us don't know how to wait. You just left primary school. Primary 3, you were in GSS 1. By GSS 3, you are writing my heck. You know? You're like, woo, 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 woo. You just rapture. This earth is made to wait. So you don't know how to wait. So the moment a small delay comes, you are frustrated. So you don't know how to handle failures. You know, going, then the pride will come in. Because you are used to sitting, you know, among the nobles. I told someone, I said, this is a God humbling you. He said, Pastor, I'm sorry, sir. I want to ask, based on new creation reality, he said, can God humble somebody? He said, he gives grace to the humble. That means the way he does it is like this. You want grace? Say, oh Lord, I want grace. So, humble yourself. So what has he done? He has humbled me. God humbles you. You're too fast. Someone start ministry. He's already talking about the first day, the second day. When we're younger in ministry, you have 3 services. By the 3rd week, you think you'll change your venue. They are saying, go and price that, then we used to use a PSR. Go and check PSR 200. I don't think we should use, no evangelism yet though. I just say, so, well, no, we release our faith. So the first meeting we had. And you know, the brethren that I thought, I'm already talking about something else. I think it's a good story for you. The brethren were, so I thought the brethren, we had all gone out to go and get the members. So I was thinking that I'll come and meet the members that we are going to get. I just showed up. The brethren were just dressed well. Like they were going to a party. I was so upset. Well dressed, from makeup. For who? We saw ourselves yesterday now. Who are you making?
The next day, the 2 days after, they start preaching and there's echo. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The one that is walking, walk. Then you know, that's your prayer. You say you know how to pray. You will know now. Where you are not seeing anything. Elijah said, go and check. You check. Oh boy. You're checking. Pray. That one said, Elijah prayed and he prayed again. Someone prayed the first time and said, that again. Like one of our leaders. He wasn't a leader then. We had a prayer meeting. Everything was getting long. So he just said, I sense that God has heard us. I wish somebody can tell Pastor. You know, say, 5 keys to answer prayer. You better keep praying. How can I pray? 1, have the scripture. 2, know the scripture. 3, speak the scripture. 4, eat the scripture. 5, you just start all over again. So the thing is, if God can be patient, he then shows you that time really has got no master. You must therefore be ready to wait. Learn to wait. And in wait, James tells us patience will have its perfect work. Because now, you know, you are now getting better. And you know, have you noticed that when you became a stronger believer was that night season. When things didn't go like you wanted. If many of us knew how to handle opposition, we would be deeper in our conviction. And I tell people at times, I said, contrary winds drive the roots of conviction deeper. Contrary winds. That's just how it is. Now, is it God testing me or Satan testing me? You are just being tested. Move on. It's insignificant. It's still a test. A test that will make you stronger. Like we've said a couple of times, look at something quickly. Look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. I'll just mention this quickly. I'll have to move from there. Acts 2, where Peter, he's speaking from Joel, and he says in verse 16, this is that which was spoken of by Prophet Joel, saying, shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Now, this is not definitely a direct quote. Okay? It's not a direct quote. So if it's not a direct quote, and Peter adds some words to it, he had saith God, last days, what else was he had? He had, and they shall prophesy in verse 18. Showing you is not an interpretation, it's an application. And we have said that many times. New Testament writers, are they interpreting in their letters or are they applying? He's applying it. Notice that there's no tongues in the mind of Joel. Joel doesn't talk about tongues. But Peter connects Joel's prophecy with what Jesus said upon his resurrection, and he added tongues to it. Joel wasn't talking about tongues, Peter did. So Peter is not interpreting Joel here. He must have done that elsewhere, but he's simply finding the significance and the application. So, one of the things that Peter said is in verse 19. I'll show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord. So there's an outpouring of the Spirit. It also comes with persecution. Darkness. Things, there will be rukus. Upset the supernatural world to oppose what you're doing. So in Peter's prophecy, you know, we normally stop at verse 18, but 19 speaks about when 19 really takes you from the Exodus story where you have vapors of smoke, but the sun being turned to darkness is night. So he says there will be night seasons with the outpouring of the Spirit. Paul will say perilous times have come. You must therefore know the outpouring of the Spirit does not immune you from night seasons. Night seasons simply means things that will contradict, things that will oppose you, things that won't happen the way you want. So why do we have night seasons? Why do we have times and seasons? Get back to Genesis chapter 8. One more time. Learning something? Come on, guys. Learning something? Genesis chapter 8. Now, we said 21 simply means God, in spite of man's evil, that's you and I, finds a resting place of his spirit. Then it says in 22, you see, I know man. Man is, it can be as rootless, unstable, just like Genesis 6 and verse 5. Wickedness in the earth. Right? And what it meant by wickedness in the earth was man. So, look at Genesis 8:22. Pay attention now. So what we have in verse 21 is man who can be what? Wicked? Unstable? Unreliable? So 22. While the, now is that earth referring to the space of man? Very well. So while mankind remaineth, what mankind? Mankind that can be what? Unstable, sin, disobey, seed, time, and harvest will cease. Summer and winter, day and night will not cease. Cold and heat, some have used it for offering bag, sad enough. So, God therefore will walk, if he's going to walk with the same man, that means his own plans and purposes too, will walk with seasons. So let's look at the man that God walks with. In the garden, Adam and Eve. Always reliable? I'm asking? Go. Okay. Okay, so now we move from there to Noah. Always reliable? Nah. By the next chapter, he got drunk. He cursed his family, and his family messed up. Okay, let's move quickly. Babel. God has to walk with men. Stable? No. Egypt, man. That nation is interesting. What about Joseph? Sorry. No. Potiphar? His wife, all the seasons in Genesis are because of men. Things will just go abruptly, stop abruptly, and something else will happen. The baker, the butler, Pharaoh, Egypt, it's all about men. It's all about men. So as long as sin remains, seed, time, and harvest will not cease. It won't cease. So wake up, guys. Newsflash. Don't expect a perfect world yet. If you are not going to have a perfect world yet, you can expect there not to be times and seasons. So let me ask you a question. The instability, does it also include God's own servants? Very well, God's own servants, whose only exception is their faith and loyalty to him. Not that their conduct was extremely different. Abraham wasn't, Isaac wasn't, Jacob wasn't, Joseph wasn't, Moses wasn't, Joshua wasn't. Everybody was there unstable. Yet God will put his spirit there, right? Come on. Where there's worship, where there's service, Genesis 21, his spirit will be found there. And God will have to walk through the seasons. Of Moses is hot, then cold. He's fervent, then he stops. He's angry, then he's happy. And God has to walk through all those seasons. And he's way better, of course, but you have mankind. So as long as you have mankind, seed time and harvest will not cease. But God is God. He will walk with that season, no matter what it is. So I said here, I said, expect night. Always do. It will come. And nature points out to us, night will come. Expect night. So the point is, what should I do? Expect night. Some of us are in the ministry. You think, you know, let me just talk about the ministry. We're young boys, 32 years ago, maybe later in the year, and we were praying and believing God for the move of the Spirit. Young boys, all of us were teenagers, who were believing God for the move of the Spirit. And we sang the song, God of great courage, source of our strength, Star Palace. That's the place where we sang the song. And I shared the vision, one brother was crying. He said, oh God. And I'm saying, oh. So I'm walking home thinking, revival has come. So we planned a fast. Everybody was going to fast. Wow. Said, the fast is going to be first instance 7 days. And as the Lord wills, we keep having installments. The first day, I went to check the brethren, preparation for the prayer meeting in the evening. And there I saw. Suddenly Yahweh has furnished the wilderness. And I saw food. Two different brothers. One of them had bread and beans with orobo. Know what orobo is. The other guy had eba. Said he just wasn't led again. Last night. So here I was. Woo! Discouraged. So I decided I was going to do the fast for 40 days, I think, and I started. But my own time took it. Where I was sharing with the members of the fellowship, they didn't know I was going to run away. I said, so guys, you know, my mouth was like, oh boy, don't go. I was planning something. I was trying to run. Dapa. Planning. I didn't tell anybody. And I didn't pray about it. I was just praying in tongues so that I won't pray in understanding. I decided not to pray it in tongues, in language. Because if you did, I would have to say, for the trip I'm about to go. So I know when I say that, I don't know, the trip in disobedience. I just said, oh, I just prayed in tongues. Yeah. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, so it shows you that really, you also can be that way. The only difference was that I hid my own. They showed their own quickly. Oh boy, this bread and beans is my lot and my portion. Leave matter. And God still working with me, I think. Yeah. Times and seasons. Imagine if I was pastoring people and I'm backsliding. They will be affected. That's their own night. A backsliding pastor is a night. Let's pray for pastor. Let's, oh Father, restore him. That's a nice season. Some will just go discouraged. Is this the Christianity? This is Christianity. That's night season. Right? Because it's orchestrated by man. The instabilities, the propensities to walk in the flesh, all create times and seasons for us. Look at the parable of the sower. Let's move that quickly. In Matthew 13, notice Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And let me ask you, since from the church, every time you hear seed, what does that talk about? Seed is what? Seed is what? Genesis. Right? So Jesus is talking about the foundation of the world. Matthew 13, 34, 35. Oh, so my codified silence does not work. It has to be loud. Matthew 13, Jesus gives a parable of the sower. Matthew 13, 3 to 23. Matthew 13, 24 to 30, which is the good and evil seed. Matthew 13, 31 to 32, the mustard seed. Matthew 13, verse 33, the yeast. Now, what is common that Genesis is seed? What is common to all the parables? Matthew 13. He said in verse 19, then cometh the wicked one. Verse 20. The same is he that heareth the word and not with joy receive it. And then for a while, 21. For when? Tribulation. So when you have then and when, is that time? Then, when, time? 22! The care of this world, so which is chokes. The word war, there's time, age. 23, it brings forth fruit. Some 100, then 30, or then 60, some 100, some 60, some 30. So what is common here is time. Matthew 13 and verse 24. So as were the good seed, while men slept, while is what? Time. The enemy came and sowed tares. Then he sprung up. And he cried, 28, the enemy has done this. And the servant said, what would you do? So, you got to let the tares grow up. There will now come a time to separate the wheat from the chaff. Matthew 13, 31. A man sowed in the field, then when time? Then when time? Matthew 13, 33. The weeds, the leaven, till time. When, then, till. Now look at the explanation. Now, Matthew tells us in 34, 35, Jesus is teaching like the Old Testament speaker. Psalm 78 verse 2. So he goes here. He that sows a good seed, 37, is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are children of the kingdom. The tares are children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. Everything is about time. Burned. Harvest. So you have time. Mark 4. So the kingdom of God also walks with time. Mark 4. Verse 27. I tap from 26. The kingdom of God is if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. Night and day. The seed should spring up and grow. He knows not how. The earth brings forth the fruit of herself, first the blade, then the air, the full corn. So, for when the fruit is brought, there is a when. Verse 30. Again, when it is sown in the earth, when it is sown, it grows up, becomes greater, and shoots up, so that. So you have time. So the kingdom of God walks with time, walks through the time. So you cannot deny times. So if we know that times will vary, then you have to recognize the opportunity. So which means that, watch what I'm about to say, you must be able to recognize opportunity, kairos. So when Paul says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil, Ephesians 5:16, Colossians 4:15, redeeming the time, kairos means opportunity. Opportunity. Which means that it's like a football game. It's 45 minutes. Then you have 45 minutes. Then the game is gone. Done. The whistle has been blown. They've called it a day. Then you now want to put the ball in the net. For what? That's not the time for that. The opportunity came and you did not take it. So which means because times and seasons will cease, I must look out for what? Opportunities. I must look out for opportunities. Acts 1:7, Jesus told his disciples, said, it is not for you but to know the times, chronos, and the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. So Paul instructs us to recognize opportunities. Just pray 1 minute. Just pray. Pray for yourself. to recognize opportunity. Now, hold on before you do that. Remember, there's times and seasons. And you are not likely to know very easily. But you can recognize the opportunity for different things. Which means things have their own time. Is that very clear? So pray for yourself 1 minute. I want this to sink into your heart. To recognize, not to waste opportunities. Amen. Now look at Ephesians 5:16 again. It says, redeeming the time. The word there is exogorazo. Now watch what I'm about to say. This is fundamental to this teaching. If you miss this one, you've missed everything. Now I'm going to explain redeeming for you. Exogorazo. Now watch my illustration. A man goes to the market, like everybody, and there are things on display. Everybody sees it. Some will walk past it. They don't even know what it is. Some might feel they don't need it. They walk past it. So the man is in an open market. Then he goes and says, oh, that can help me keep time. That can help me maybe clean my house. Then he looks at it. He recognizes what it is. Then they say, oh, it's 500 naira or 5,000 naira. Then he says, oh, why? And he walks away. Now, usually he did that because what he wanted to do is not of such value. But if what he wanted to do was of such a value, he will simply say, no problem, bring it. So what has he done? He has redeemed it and kept it to use it for himself. Now, if he walks away and doesn't buy it, can he have it? No. He doesn't buy it, it doesn't become his. So if he doesn't buy it, it doesn't become his, can he use it? No. So, but it will remain there, right? Till someone recognizes what it is for. So to buy it, you must value it. First thing, you must be wise. You must value time. You must what? Value time. You hear that? So from today, treat time like money. Treat time like a valuable thing. Usually, people know the value of time when they don't have it again. Someone told me this. He said, you know, I didn't know till time had gone past. I could have done this thing 20 years ago. Now, he wants to do it now, but it will be very different. So you have to first value it to know the importance of time. So start to see time as a gift because it's never going to be available. Is that clear? It's precious. Think like a trader. Think like a savior. Because if you don't recognize it, you bypass it. Someone else will use it. Maybe I should add that one. Someone else will use it. So, learn to value time. You know, sometimes we don't value the time we spent with people until they are no more. That's careless. Don't lose something before you value it. It's not everything you can get back. I'll talk about that some other time, but not today. So you must think like a trader, value, recognize, know how to seize opportunities. Because time will wait for no man. So now let me just quickly talk about this. What are the things that have no time and seasons? What are the things that have no time and season to it? Which means what I'm trying to say is, through every season and time, what must I keep constantly? The first one is prayer. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Luke 18:1, men ought to always pray and not to give up. We're also supposed to give thanks always. We are to be led by the Spirit of God always. We are to meditate upon the Word of God always. Joshua 1:8. When? Night? No, day and? Day and night is not just morning and evening. It's every season. Psalm 1 verse 1. Meditate upon it day and night. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word in season and what? So, write down the constants of your life. One, prayer. Two, giving thanks. Three, walking the light, being led by the Spirit of God. Four, meditation in the word of God. I'm not giving the other priority. Five, preaching the word. Look at John 11:42. Now the word always, I know you've not paid attention to it, is the word pantote, P-A-N-T-O-T-E, P-A-N-T-O-T-E in the Greek, which means forever, no limits. In John 11:41, 42, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, for you hear me always. Why does he hear him always? Because he prays always. I pray without stopping. When you know what prayer is, apart from your early morning devotion, you will pray about any activity. It's good to have the devotional prayer where you keep a time to pray, but make prayer a constant. There is nothing, no part of your day you don't need prayer. Do you get that? No part of your day that you don't need prayer. Men ought to always pray. So Paul will write to them in Romans 1:10. Romans 1:10, this is Paul. He said, making requests if by any means I might have a prosperous journey. How? Verse 9, I make mention of you always in prayer. If you're a pastor, you pray for people under you. How many times? All the time. The guy that is growing up, always. The guy that is not growing up, always. Because you do not control time. Okay? 1 Corinthians 1:4. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. Paul is here. I thank my God always on your behalf by the grace of God. Always. Philippians 1:4. Always in every prayer of mine for you. Colossians 1:3. Same thing. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 and 11. Praying always, giving thanks always. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always. This is the will of God. Always. 2 Corinthians 2:14, he leads us always to triumph. Say, he leads me always to triumph. So no matter the season, there is no season of defeat for us. Amen. There's a manifestation of God's victory through day and night. 1 Corinthians 15:15, go there. Be steadfast. Come on. Immovable. Always abounding. Constance. What about giving? God is able to make all grace abound towards you. 2 Corinthians 9:8, that you always, having all sufficiency, will abound unto. So how many times do I need to give? All the time. And the church Paul refers to in chapter 8 is the church going through economic difficulty. Like I said, generosity is not an action. Generosity is a culture, is a habit. If you won't give 10,000 when you have, sorry, if you will give when you have 10,000, you will give when you have 10 million. Generosity is not because you have luxury. Generosity is because you are generous. Look at Mark 12. Some think the reason why I don't give is because, you know, for now, my salary cannot take me home. My home can take to my salary, whatever. No, you are just not generous. That's the point. It's not that. It's not the money on you. You are just not a generous person. So change it. Make generosity a habit. And it's not also nice, many teachings going on around the body of Christ where people are told to give so that God can do something for them. No. The joy of giving on God's behalf is sufficient for any giver. Is that clear? Now look at Mark 12. Jesus said, he sat over, 41, Jesus sat over against the treasury. Today, they will have taken his picture on Instagram. A man of God looking into the offering. This is not Christ-like. Jesus be Christ-like. Something like that. And he saw how the people cast money. Imagine if the pastor stays and watches how you give offering. He said, a man of God. Man of God, all y'all. Face the work of the ministry. Jesus is watching how people are giving. Oh boy. You dug down to the pocket. Down. Down in my heart, there's this nature of the Father. And he beheld how people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich casting much. Many that were rich. And there came a poor widow. She threw in two mites. Now, the interesting about this story is that Jesus had actually spoken about in verse 40 that the Pharisees and the scribes, they were devouring widows' houses. Now, widows are not meant to give by the law. They are meant to be given to. Now, this woman, interestingly, is acting because she's being manipulated. She's been, maybe that's not the word, maybe I changed that. She's been oppressed, because that's what he said about the Pharisees. So the offering is not even according to the law. She's giving not according to the law. And then Jesus said, there was a certain poor widow. She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. He called his disciples and said, let's take it together, 43. Verily I say unto her, that this poor widow cast more in than all they which had cast into the treasury. For all they, in the abundance. But she of her own did cast in all she had, even all her living. Jesus said she has done more. Even under oppression. Jesus speaks well of giving. So giving is always. 2 Corinthians, 2 Timothy 4, 2. Preach the word! Be instant, in season, the word akairos there, and out of season. Don't say, I'm just thinking I should start preaching June. You are experiencing, what do you call this thing again? Eclipse. You know it's good to preach. It's in June. When I'm done with my masters, I'll preach. So Satan will tell you, you're correct. I think you should focus on your masters. By June is a better time. You're not serious. He says, in season and out of season. When people are hearing it, don't say, I'm not, you know, people around me, they're not even appreciating the word. They're not appreciating the word. He said, preach it! Hallelujah. Don't preach it anyway. Preach it anyway. In season, out of season. Because do not forget, you cannot hold time in your hands. So if you cannot hold time in your hands, watch me guys, that means every time becomes an opportunity. Do you understand it now? Every time becomes an opportunity. Don't try to control time. You can't. Every time becomes an opportunity. Look at Esau. Shared about it the other day. He goes with his brother and they are on the field and he's so thirsty, hungry. And then the brother goes to him and says, that is Jacob in Genesis 26. And he says to him, feed me, verse 30. I pray the same red pottage, for I'm famed, therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day your birthright. And then he said, behold, I'm appointed to die. What profit shall this birthright be to me? What am I getting from it? You know, some people think that what they said is just ordinary words. No, he said what he said. And he got what he said. Bible calls him a profane man. Somebody who can speak light on spiritual things. I've told you before. Don't say stupid things. And say, I'm sorry, I didn't know. I'm telling you. Don't say silly things. Say, I was upset. I was angry. Who cares? He just said he's hungry. What problem? So sell me this day. He says, what to me? Swear to me. No, he just gave it to him. The Bible says he despises his birthright. Two chapters after, he now goes to his father. Pay attention here. He now went to his father. And he cried. In verse 34. Bless me even, oh my father. He goes to his father. Jacob had gone with him. So your brother came with subtlety and taking away that blessing. Is he not Jacob? So he said, now look at the next thing he says. He said, had thou not reserved the blessing for me? The man said, no. Behold, I've made him thy Lord. And all his brethren have given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I do to you now, my son? There's nothing I can do. As thou just one blessing, my father, bless me even so. My father lifted his voice and said, well, he said, your brother has been blessed. That's what he told him. And he's remained blessed. So he was trying to tell the father to change his mind. The writer of Hebrews now shows us that story. Hebrews 12. You there? Verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up troubles you, thereby many be defiled. Lest there be an fornicator, a profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. This is so important. You know how that afterward he will have inherited a blessing. He was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully. Now, he's not saying that he was trying to change his ways. He was trying to have the father change his mind. He was trying to have God change his mind. He said there was no place for it. God was not going to change his mind. So this is lost forever. There's nothing he can do about this. The time he ought to show reverence for the birthright, he despised it. Fully aware. It was not, let me repeat myself. Jacob and Esau were not teenagers. They were adults. Full grown adults. So he knew. In Luke 16, in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, look at what Abraham said to the rich man. Quickly, Luke 16. He's already in hell. Then he cried. In verse 24, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may, very arrogant guy. and hell, he has still given command. If he dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue from tomato, it is flame. Look at 25. Abraham said, son, remember in your lifetime, you had the time. You did. The rich fool, Luke 12, time. You therefore must see time to fulfill the will of God. Why do I have one extra day to do God's will? Time is a resource. Time is a gift. Time is expensive. Don't waste it. You cannot keep it. You can only save it. Save it from wasting. So, I'll take the order next week, but let me just go through this quickly. You must see time as opportunity. Every moment must count. I want you to leave this room today and go back home and make every moment count. So what do I do with time? The first thing I said here, you must be alert in your use of time. Then you must also pray for revelation by God's Spirit to recognize time. In Luke 19:44, Jesus wept over Jerusalem and he says, you do not know the time, Kairos, of your visitation. You didn't recognize it. Something was happening. He didn't recognize it. But there was a Zechariah who recognized it, and he stood in the temple and welcomed Jesus through John the Baptist. There was Simeon in Luke 2 who knew who Jesus was and recognized it. There was Anna, the daughter of Phanuel. We therefore must know how to recognize time. What exactly is going on? If you feed your mind on worldly news all the time, you're always getting on one blog or the other, feasting on news, following Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, you will never know what God is doing. That is why he said, pray without ceasing. Meditate upon the word of God. Give thanks always. Be steadfast. Be immovable. That is how you recognize what God is doing. When you do the constants, through every season, you know what God is doing. While some should pray, they're watching what the world is saying. I told you, whilst we were planning for election last year in Nigeria, that wasn't God's plan. That's man's plan. God had his own plan. In Luke 2, they were doing census. Jesus was taken to the temple. While they were doing census, he was being dedicated. That means the world didn't know what was going on. But two people knew it. Zechariah, of course, did. And Simeon and the prophetess knew. It takes the Holy Ghost to recognize what God is doing. Watching the news doesn't feed you what God is doing. They don't know what they see. The world doesn't know who he is. Don't follow their information. You know, I always say that, imagine God calling Samuel the first time. And he goes to Saul for Samuel chapter 3. And he asks of Saul, he says, go lie down. The second time he goes to him. The third time the man says, lie down and say, speak Lord, your servant here. Now, one thing I don't know is, what if, he never went to Eli. What if he did not listen? Would God have spoken another time? I'm not sure. You can't predict him when you are in disobedience. And you must quit any grace message that makes you feel that God is right there on your palms. It's a lie. He has instructed you what to do at all times. Walk in the light. Pray without ceasing. Now, so that you know that there's protocol in scripture, he says that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And what did he say? Pay attention to what I'm about to say. I'm not teaching you any symbolisms. But he says, if your brother offends you, go to him first. If he hears you, you warn him. If he hasn't, notice again, he says, go with two or three. Then they go. If he hears them, fine. If he doesn't, tell it to the church. How come the third time, he says, tell it to the church? And if he doesn't hear the church, that's the end. When he spoke about a heretic, he said the first, second admonition, the third time, reject. But I thought the steadfast Lord never ceases, his mercy never comes to an end. He'll give us a second chance, a second chance, a second chance. Oh boy. Oh boy. Don't try God. Don't do it. Just obey. Just do what he wants you to do. In Esther 4:14, Esther forgot what's going on. She has gone into the king's house. She had become the king's wife. Things were going rosy. She had forgotten who she was. And that's usual. You see, every time God's people are in a strange land, they forget who they are. It takes some recognition, many times, or not every time. When Mordecai comes and say, Sister Esther, I won't call you queen. We used to do fellowship now. What are you doing here? You've forgotten us, the brethren. Oh, I've not forgotten you. I was saying that my busy schedule. I was just saying when I had time. Sorry, Brother Mordecai, you know, I can't forget you. Brother Mordecai, evangelism, prayer. It's just my share, you know. I didn't even know this was what this office was going to be about. It's so stressful. That was not looking. So listen, if you would not do something, the God who's above time and season, he will bring deliverance from another person. What is that saying? You are not indispensable. Brother, let's go and start a fellowship. And, you know, I have to just, God will join you somebody else. You're not criticizing them. He doesn't understand, you know, boy, foul, offside. So who knows that you are in the kingdom for such a time? Raise your two hands. For such a time as this, I'm where I am. Pray, 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 pray. Raise your two hands and pray. Pray. God has been reminding you. Yeah. Pray, 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 pray. Not to waste opportunities. Pray. Not to waste them. To value them. Hallelujah. Let's quickly wrap up. So you will know how to take advantage of things. A time, a chance is given to you. Take advantage. There was one man like that. If I say it, people will not know the man ever got born again. But the person who spoke to him, there are two that I know. This person who spoke to him said he was just led by the Spirit. He said he was going somewhere else. And God said, go to so and so place. The man, I won't mention the name, because I don't want controversy over the man's salvation. He said, I spoke to him myself. I laid hands on him. Received Jesus. He said, at that point he was recuperating, he was even fine. Less than 24 hours he was gone. Today when people hear about that man, they think he has gone to the hottest part of hell. Another man like that, this man just said, this one is world renowned. He said he was just praying. Lord said, go and meet him in his house. I went there. So I saw him depressed. And I shared Jesus with him. And I got him right there to believe that Jesus said he had done it somewhere before. He said, yeah, I have to do it again. And the guy got saved. So he ensured that he did what God told him. Didn't take too long. The whole world got to know the man died. Now imagine if you quickly wanted to go and attend to something at work. You know, it's January, we have to do NPR. You know, all those kind of things. God prompted your heart. God told you. You were praying and that burden kept coming. Then you are saying, I'm thinking of July. You know, some people say, I'm thinking around July. In January. How do you save something that you don't have? Do you have July in your hands? You only have January 17. Use it. Is that clear? And use it well. Next week I'm going to talk about this one. 1 Corinthians 7. Quickly. Learning something. Tonight I want you to go home and pray. Because I'm believing God that wasted spaces will be covered. Was a wasted time. 10 years, you're still doing like this. Doing like this. 5 years. You're doing ministry. 3 disciples you cannot have in Christ Jesus. For such a time as this, the time when you ought to be teachers, nobody can say, brother, you've been in this church for 7, 8 years. Do this one. You're just wasting time. Say, though, when I do this, this will happen. You think there is never a time that will be ready for you to pray always. There's never a time that will be given to you to study. Never a time for you to preach. You have to create the time. 1 Corinthians 7:21. I'll get to that next week. Paul said, look, if you're a slave, that is if you're working somewhere, said, you know, I'm back there. But he now dropped a very key fact. If you are a servant, that the word servant just means you are an employee. Care not for it. But if you'll be made free, use it rather. That word actually means, if you have the opportunity, use it. And we're going to believe God that even in our career, business, we will not waste opportunities. You won't waste opportunities. Guys, wake up. You have to wake up and don't doze. The opportunities are bounding around you to serve God, to bless humanity, to get better in all areas of your life. I'm going to talk about that next week. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Look at John 9, we'll close on that one. Are you learning something? Jesus said, I must walk, verse 4, while it is day, for the night cometh, when no man can walk. May I not delay what I should do in the day for the night. The night cometh when no man can walk. Walk now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. I told someone, I said, I told you this how many years ago. And I said, you waited. You have still not done it. I said, if you keep like this, next year, you will still not. I know how these things work. You will just wait. You'll be waiting for the perfect moment. There will never be a perfect moment. Every moment only becomes perfect when you recognize it and you don't waste it. There will never be a perfect moment. See, God himself does not have perfect moments. He uses whatever is available. Stand to your feet. I don't know what you want to pray about, but just pray. Pray for yourself.